It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz joining us every Thursday at 4 o'clock. Mike Lombardi, the GM Shuffle Podcast, the Daily Coach, the VSiN Morning Show. What's up, Mike? How are we feeling?
I'm feeling great. How you guys doing? 1-0, ready to go, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. We're not complaining about anything. That's the good thing. Yeah. We haven't found anything wrong with that victory.
You're WIP. That's what you live for, is to find things wrong. Come on now.
A little bit here and there. Right off the top, so one of the guys we talked about last week, we've been talking about a lot this week, is Bryce Huff. And you mentioned to us that you thought that he was an obvious upgrade over Hassan Reddick. So mm-hmm. he didn't even play half the snaps, no sacks, no pressures, I think one assisted tackle. What did you see from Huff, and can we expect more than we saw Friday night?
Well, I don't know what you can attend. I mean, that field really made it hard for pass rushers. It really did, and so it was hard to get traction. You could see the trainers on the sideline, the equipment guys changing the spikes out with 7-inch heels. So I don't know if you want to use a one-game sample. The one thing I said, too, last week was clearly Green Bay was a really good pass protection line, and I think they do a good job. Huff has always been a really good rusher, but he's never been a 70-play player. He's always been a situational guy. That's what he was with the Jets. That's why the Jets didn't want to re-sign him and pay him all that money, because they felt like he was a 30-play guy, not a 60-play guy. I think those 30 plays can be very impactful for Philadelphia. So I would give it a week. I mean, look, this week he goes against Jake Matthews, or he goes against McCrary, the right tackle for Atlanta. Both those guys have struggled when it's a straight drop-back pass game. I think he'll play better. I think that field was a real hindrance in terms of evaluation in trying to get pressure on the passer.
So I would love for you to take us, given that your front office history, to take us into what you think conversations are like, if there are conversations at all, where Howie Roseman goes out and, Bryce Huff was, as far as free agent goes, from a money standpoint, their biggest acquisition. And, Vic Fangio has said, Bryce Huff will be on the field more when he separates himself from the other guys. Are there internal conversations between someone in Howie's position and somebody in Fangio's position, sort of like, hey, we paid this guy X.
Yeah.
We'd like to see him on the field more.
Yeah, that definitely happens. I mean, you have to. I mean, that's what Howie's job is to make sure that everybody kind of falls in line. I mean, that's why everything kind of runs through his office. So he's in charge of that. And obviously Vic is a very strong-minded guy who's got a lot of opinions, and they've got to get that coordinated. I mean, just because you paid the guy doesn't necessarily mean he is the best player. Now, they all agreed as an organization that they thought Huff could be the right guy, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think you got to give this a little bit more time. I mean, Brendan Graham, I mean, he had, like, what, one assist in the game, too? Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody other than the three leading tacklers last week were the linebackers, the safeties, and the corners, which tells you all you need to know about the rush and the feel, too. So I think, look, that's Howie's job, is to make sure that the players – the right players are getting put in the right spots. They're getting there. In some organizations, when I worked in New England with Belichick, that's what he did. That's what he was in charge. He makes sure the coaches play the guys. He oversaw it. When I worked for the Raiders, that was Al Davis's whole thing. Look, they ran the organization. Howie's in charge of the organization. He's going to make damn sure that they're putting the players in. And when conflict occurs between the player not doing the job and the coaches thinking he's not, somebody's going to have to admit they made a mistake, or somebody's going to have to figure out why the player isn't playing well.
Yeah, and those types of things happen. It seems like that may be also going on at the linebacker position, Mike. Our backers played very well last week, Zach Bond and N'Kobe Dean. My question for those guys, one, in N'Kobe, I don't think he certainly hasn't started 17 games yet in the season. He has a little bit of an injury history. And Zach Bond hasn't started 17 games himself. What do you think of those guys, A, how they played last week, and B, whether or not we can rely, maybe not that level last week for Zach Bond, but competent levels for 17 weeks with these two guys as your starter? You think that we finally have found linebackers here in Philly?
I'm not sure you have, right? I think, to me, you signed Devin White on a one-year, $4 million contract. That was really a look. You were just trying to, hopefully, you're getting value here. Hopefully he could return to the old form. I think when you go through the game and you watch the game tape, I mean, I would not say that the Eagles played great defense in the game. They gave up 29 points, you know, and I think to me, there's concerns on all three levels of their defense, right? I mean, you know, when you look at it, they struggled to stop the run. They gave up 163 yards rushing. Yeah. One of the stats no one talks about is incomplete passes. You know, they had 17 incomplete passes, but they didn't get their hands on very many balls. They had the one interception by Blankenship. But to me, I think Philly's got a long, long roadway to go to improve. You're not beating San Francisco. You're not beating Detroit playing the kind of defense that they played in Brazil. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that opening game, yada, yada, yada. We'll go through all that. But there's a level. They're far from saying they've got everything solved, whether it's the corners, safeties, linebackers, or even the rush guys. I mean, you know, that's the thing. They only sacked Hurts. They have one sack in the game for 5 yards. So I think it's a long way to go before we could think that they've got it done. And I thought Braun made a ton of tackles, right?
Yeah.
I think there's no question about that.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about the whole Devin White situation? You classified it as a look-see, and I can understand that. I'm just wondering, moving forward, you think he's in a spot mentally where he's okay not being that starter and he's going to be able to be an asset for the team?
I mean, like you've played, you know, the hardest thing is to tell a player he can't play anymore, you know? And so that's the hardest thing. They never want to see it. It's why Phil Jackson didn't want to coach Kobe at the end of his career. You know, that's why he left before Kobe left, because it's hard to say to a player, you're not the same player you once was. That's a typical conversation. I think Devin came up there with the idea he could reestablish his career. But when you watch Tampa play last year, when they put Britt in the game, that really made Tampa's defense much better. So, look, he's injured right now. I don't know if he can win his job back based on what he did this summer. I didn't watch the practices. You're not allowed to watch the practices. So I don't know. But to me, it's not trending in the right direction. Look, I think their team speed on the second and the third level is something you've got to be concerned about. If you're playing some of these teams that, whether it's Kansas City, whether it's, you know, Miami tonight, which you'll see incredible speed, I mean, you're going to have to be able to match it and handle some things, and your linebackers have got to make plays. Look, here's what I've often said, and I believe this wholeheartedly. When your Mike linebacker is slow, your defense is slow. When you don't have speed inside out, it makes your defense look slow.
Mm. We're talking to Mike Lombardi, who joins us every Thursday at 4 o'clock. I want to talk to you about Jalen. So it's been, you know, a 12 or 13 game sample size, you know, almost all of last season, and then this game with him turning the ball over way more than you would like your franchise quarterback to do. At what point, when you're watching him, do you make the decision or do you figure out this is who he's going to be as opposed to the quarterback that we saw in 22?
Yeah, that's the hard one for me, because I think to me, you know, you want him to – look, a center fielder in baseball that doesn't make any errors isn't getting any balls, right? It's not the interceptions that are always – it's the dumb decisions. It's making a bad play worse, right? Mm-hmm. I think, to me, we get so caught up on the interceptions when, in reality, when a play breaks down, don't make it worse. Get it back to the line of scrimmage, you know, throw the ball out of bed, do something. I think when you start to do dumb plays when it's a bad play, that's when you get into problems. Look, every quarterback's going to get fooled. I mean, you know, Tom Brady got fooled the Super Bowl. We got behind 28-3, throws a pick six because he didn't think it was one robbery. He thought it was just cover one. And he's as good as anybody in the game. So they're all going to get fooled. But I think, to me, it's when you make too many of those bad plays and turn them into really bad plays. Josh Allen turns the ball over. Brett Favre turns the ball over. You know, you're not going to play perfectly all the time like Aaron Rodgers when he used to play up at Green Bay. You had a hard time getting the ball away from him. And the fact is, you know, they put the ball in the air 34 times. He only had 14 incompletions. I thought he played a good game, but the two interceptions, he's going to have to – put the ball in the right spot, and his accuracy's got to be better when he does that. So I think it's an ongoing evolution. I think the second year of his career, when he ran the football and he was able to really, and the Eagles were playing from in front in a lot of those games, that helped him. That made him look better. But when you're not playing from in front and you're in this dog-eat-dog game, which a lot of them are in the NFL, you know, you're prone to make mistakes.
We talked about Bryce Huff, you know, who replaced Hassan Reddick. There was a report today from Jeremy Fowler at ESPN that clubs think that the Jets are eventually going to have to move on from Reddick. Do you think there is any world in which the Philadelphia Eagles would trade back for Hassan Reddick?
I can't, because look, you know, all this is being talked to. He wants more money. Do you want to give him more money?
Well, it's not my money, Mike.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
that,
I know. I hear
you. The general manager. We just promoted you. Our Sam Hankey was busy.
There it took you 11 minutes.
You know, we're going to give it to you. So, like, I mean, that's the problem. I mean, you want to pay it? Look, here's the thing. I was told he was coming in last week by reliable people in the league. I was told he was coming in because why stay out? Why is he out? Like, he's in the last year of his contract. Come in. You know, he was due to make $14 million this year. Just come in and get 11 sacks. And become a free agent. Like, it's the dumbest holdout since the Le'Veon Bell holdout. It really is. He's just giving money away. It makes no sense at all. Why he's doing it, I don't know. But here's what I do know. Nobody wants somebody else's problem. Only Joe Douglas was willing to take Howie's problem off his hands and give a third-round pick for him. I don't think you're going to find another team who's willing to give Joe Douglas a draft choice and then say, by the way, oh, Hassan, we'll reward you with a new contract. We can't wait to give you more green stuff. That ain't happening.
Yeah, I just don't understand it either, Mike. Your career is only have a small window as it is in your career to make as much money as you can.
Don't leave money on the table.
Exactly.
Nothing says I'm sorry better than money. Right? Don't leave money on the table. I mean, look, that's what Jerry said the other day about Dak. You know, all you guys were thinking Dak was mad. Nothing says, you know, this is what the great Arnold Rothstein said in Boardwalk Empire. Nothing says I'm sorry better than money. And it's right.
So,
yep.
Last one, Mike. The Saquon Barkley had as good a debut for the Philadelphia Eagles as anyone here could have possibly imagined. 26 touches is a substantial number of touches. If you are in charge of the Philadelphia Eagles, how much do you consider managing how much he's touching the ball, thinking about, hey, we have 17 games, we have playoffs, and here's a guy who's been hurt previously in his last several years?
I would be worried about Jalen Hurts having 13 carries and only getting 33 yards. I would be more worried about that. Here's what I would tell, if I were running the Eagles, I would try to say to everybody, can we get Barkley more involved in the passing game? Can we get him out in the perimeter and allow him to take those long handoffs? I mean, the wheel route was great. But to me, you know, he had two catches for 23 yards, 18 long was the touchdown. But that's what I want to do. I want to make him a bigger part of the passing game. I want to, when he's on the field, I want people to think, oh, he's going to run it. But then I want to put him out and I want to get him the football in space so we could take away some of that. And I think Gainwell is going to have to get more than one carry in a game.
Yeah, he was in, it looked like the only time he was really in for an extended period of time was when Saquon got hurt at the end of the first half, had a stinger or something like that. Well, Mike, we appreciate you joining us. Remember, it's, I think, 18 days until Sixers training camp starts, so I know you're very excited.
I don't care.
I don't have any hope, I say that right there. Yeah. So you're not going to get me to come in with flowers and roses, I can say that to you right there. But look, you know, they always pull me back in. I always say that. I'll start out this way, but I get pulled back in. It's one of the tragedies of my life.
My Lord. One of the tragedies of my life. Well, if that's one of the tragedies of your life, you've had a pretty good life. So, all right, Mike. Appreciate you, man.
All right. Appreciate it, brother.
There he is, Mike Lombardi.
So can we keep him through Sixer season?
I would love to. I'm sure he would, by the way. And he could just play the Howard Eskin role
without being Howard Eskin. Yeah.
I do think that Mike, in his heart, who was obviously anti-process
really?
And has been very critical of Joel Embiid, I do think in his heart he would like Joel Embiid to succeed and them to be good.
Yeah.
But that's not everybody who
takes a strong stance against something.
Yeah, who is anti-process. I think a lot of those people would rather he just fail so they can be right about that.
But Chuck.
Definitely.
Well, Embiid had one good game and Chuck was kissing his ass.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he was like crying on the air. Let's not forget that.
That's why I needed an Embiid run.
I would love an Embiid run.
Just for everyone out there.
Beat one good team in the playoffs.
I know.
One good team. Been doing this for 11 years, and they've never beaten a good team in the playoffs. Never. Do you notice that? How does this keep happening?
Oh, my God. Can you be a pro one time?
I don't even touch it. Well,
you set the alarm.
You know what? No, I didn't. I think maybe a Siri thing keeps happening or something. Maybe I'm setting it with Siri. I don't know. I'm not setting any alarms. Anyway, they haven't, Ike.
Yes.
They beat the Nets twice.
Yep.
They beat the Heat when their best
Before
player
was. Before they had Butler
Yeah,
and all
Josh
those guys.
Richardson Heat.
Yep.
beat the Wizards with Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal, beat the Raptors after they were good, have never beaten a good team in the playoffs.
Yep.
Not one time. It's unbelievable. Right. Chris in Middletown, you're on WIP. What's up, Chris?
Good day, gentlemen.
Chris, did you hear that you were number four in the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings yesterday?
I did. I'll give you a little taste of a little fuel. Not a snowball's chance in hell that Reddick comes back to the Eagles, from my understanding of things. So.
Wow. We're going for two big reports here.
Well, hold on. You can't get credit for this.
Hold on. He's reporting it.
He is reporting it.
I'm reporting it. Ike, if I'm wrong, Ike, you can not only remove me, but you can mute me for a month.
No, because I think you're right. I'm just saying it is more likely that you're right. This is really not a report.
Well, it sounds like you should have jumped on it.
Anyway, I said it's a taste, Ike. I didn't say it was a meal.
It's all good. Yeah, it's all good.
Hey, guys, if I could replace some guys, I want to get Mr. Perfect Brad Lidge in there for Estevez. I don't know if that's been said yet. Sorry, Ben.
It has.
No, that's good. No, you can repeat. Yeah, you can repeat.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a fair one. I am totally nervous about Estevez. I've said that several times. But in fairness, I was always nervous when Brad Lidge was.
But we know what he is now.
Yes. Brad Lidge?
Yeah, he was
perfect.
He
had one good year.
Yeah, what? We know he was perfect that year.
He was perfect that year.
He was perfect. All right, so for the Phillies, you're replacing Estevez with Lidge, and for the 2017 Eagles, replacing a 2024 Eagle.
Yeah, and I think you may have already heard this, but if not, I want to pick up the phone and tell Coach come back. So bring back Big Red.
No.
We got to go 2017.
You know what? Bring me Dougie P back. I'll take him.
Wow. Peterson replacing Nick Sirianni.
Okay.
The riverboat gambler himself.
You know, Doug, that was Doug's big balls year.
Man.
You know.
Yes, it was.
Well, I mean, it was.
It was,
you know. And it. Who knows what the legacy of Nick Sirianni is if they end up winning the Super Bowl that year. And because he was, you know. Nick Sirianni was
aggressive that year.
Big ball is Nick Sirianni that year.
Until we got to the Super Bowl.
Yes. And he played well. He started crying at the beginning of the game. Come on. That was a bad sign.
Well, now, I definitely know it was a bad sign.
Well, I love America, too. But you can't cry before the Super Bowl, at the Super Bowl, on TV. I'd have fired the guy on the spot.
Promoted
Steichen. Yes.
Before I give you my answer, Ike... Dude, Baldy was getting a little chirpy there yesterday, my man. And thank you for letting him know, hey, yo, listen, sir, settle down here. That was some great radio. Like, I could feel the fire in your voice, even though you remain calm. I was like, oh.
I tried to.
Well, you let him know. And I think he realized it. So in the spirit of that, I don't know if this video game's been said, but it was one of my favorites. Of course, Spike, you and I are the same age, but I'll go with a little bit of Ike Tyson's punch out.
We had that mentioned earlier. Yeah. Now somebody already said it. Do you have a backup in case?
Yeah, I'll pivot to a backup. Zelda.
There it is.
Boom, there it is.
There it is. All right, Chris. Good call. Yeah, that was the one. So the Nintendo cartridge for Zelda was a shiny gold.
Yep.
And when we first got it, we played that game for 24 hours straight trying to beat Zelda. That was, at the time, we're beating... Well, I guess people still try to beat games. Do they still?
I did not like Zelda.
Oh, really?
No. And I liked the fact that you had the shiny cartridge and everything. Wasn't that the... Like the sorcerer game, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm out.
Zelda was great. I still remember the music.
It was popular, yeah.
I think I played it on N64.
Yes, you could. There was an updated version of it there. Sort of like, so Hugh texted me a game. So I'm just going to say it.
Well, this guy still plays video games, by the way.
Well, he said Mega Man. And Mega Man was a great Nintendo game, but then eventually ended up on N64. I don't remember Mega Man either. Oh, really?
Mega Man, I got to pull it out.
I feel like you and Hugh actually are very similar.
Me and Hugh?
Yeah.
Hugh plays a lot of video games.
A lot of video games.
I don't play any video
games. Yeah, but like you have the same mindset on things. Like you know, both watch that Alien movie.
Yes. Yeah, you know what?
Gummies.
The gummies, too. Yeah, me and Hugh, You wouldn't look at us. We look like a 10 next to each other.
Yep. Yeah.
But you wouldn't guess that we would have, you know, similar taste. But maybe we do.
Yeah.
Maybe we do.
What was it called? MAGA?
MAGA.
Not MAGA.
Excuse me.
Why? I didn't
MAGA Man's a different one.
Yeah, MAGA Man's a little different.
Yeah.
My bad.
Ooh, boy.
That's the little guy on the street running around with a red hat.
Pat. Okay. My bad.
Okay.
How many calls am I about to get?
We didn't say anything bad.
Yeah.
I know.
It was a slip.
You said nothing bad. Nothing. All right. So we will continue replacement day. Remember, you're replacing one 2024 Philly with a 2008 Philly and one 2024 Eagle with a 2017 Eagle. A
lot of support for Carson today, Spike. How's that make you feel?
I think there's two people that said Carson.
That's more than almost any other answer.
Yes. Well, that's fair. There is a lot of support for Carson. Look, you can't argue.
Time heals all wounds.
You can't argue how Carson played in the first 13 games of that year, but you also can't argue the fact that another guy came in and won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then usurped him the next year as well. So, but you're getting pre-injury Carson. So I get
Thank you.
I get it. So we will continue replacement day. And just remember that the person you're replacing with disappears. Gone. No longer on the team. Coming up next, the Phillies swept the Rays. Nice, but have a big series this weekend with the Red Hot Mets with MVP favorite Francisco Lindor. Maybe not favorite. The High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Interesting Twitter poll. And at 5 o'clock, we're going to have to decide what to do here.
Yes.
So the Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design and find out how to win at 94WIP.com/Mark's. The Twitter question, what would you rather listen to at 5 o'clock? The top five at five or Jalen Hurts' press conference? So 57% say the top five at five.
Wow.
I don't want to not listen to the audience. I wonder if there is some sort of solution.
Why wouldn't they want to listen to Jalen's press conference?
Because he, well, first of all, I think
he's a bum.
Would you stop that?
I think it's more a compliment about them loving the top five at five.
Okay.
I think. And also, you know, Jalen's not a dynamic speaker. And I think on some level they trust us to just.
Oh, come on, man. See, here's, would you stop? Here's why I disagree with Fritzy over there.
It's the drop board, not
nonsense.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, it's just the drop board acting on its own like my phone.
I believe this is the first time he's spoken since the game.
Yeah.
The night of the game.
Yeah.
He hasn't spoken since then, right?
Okay. They're going to ask him about the interceptions, which we have to hear.
Exactly. Got to hear about the decision-making. What was his thinking there?
Yeah. What if?
Is Elliot down there?
So I can't tell because he put a video out of him leaving. But again, like, why is the press conference at 5 o'clock? Like, Devin White talked at, like, 2:30.
Well, they probably spoke before practice.
Yeah. I wonder if the press conference is at 5 and they're hoping that people aren't there.
Of course that's what it is.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
They want people to go to hell on somewhere.
First of all, Elliot.
No, go ahead.
Get your ass
back
to the Norfolk.
Down there, yes.
All right, we'll text him. See if he's going to be there.
Yeah, get back down there.
You just spent a whole week in Brazil doing nothing. You're going on vacation with your freaking wife on the company and fans in Philly. Get back to Novacare.
Get back to the Novacare.
Now, is this going to be every week with the Jalen 5 o'clock press conference? Last year, they were at like noon.
The week screwed up, though.
The week is screwed up, and this is probably when he's, because you know what it reminds me of? Although that was the end of the season. That was the last game of the season when he did his late. I was going to say he may be doing it after meetings. So once they get done with post-practice meetings, he goes through his routine or whatever that is, and then he's ready to go in and speak to the media, which I'm okay with.
I'm going to propose this.
And I want to hear him.
Yeah, I will propose. I love the top five of five as well.
Yeah.
I will propose.
It's okay.
There's no Phillies game tonight.
This guy.
So we don't have leading off.
Right.
So I will propose we do the Jalen thing. If it sucks, we stop playing it.
Right.
And then after the Jalen thing, we do the top five at five.
Okay.
So I say we do both.
Okay. Because I do want to hear his thoughts.
Well,
he's had a few days to think about it now.
And after, you know, the poll, obviously top 5 of 5 is winning, but almost half the people want to hear the Jalen thing too. So I want to give everybody both. And we can't convince Jalen to do top 5 of 5. He says
that
he's too busy. Yeah, he says he's too busy. So
he's doing top 5 of 5:30.
Yes, top 5 of 5:30.
There we go.
Yes, we'll do it there. Top 5 of 5:30. Jalen coming up at 5, and this will be the first time that you hear Jalen speak since they've returned from Brazil. What?
Is Herb in New York?
No, that's different, not Herb. It's
okay.
Different Herb.
I didn't know. I believe
he's still in Brazil.
Yeah, he's called a connecting flight.
He's never coming back from Brazil. I bet he signed a lease on that apartment accidentally, and he's there for a year.
A lease.
Yeah. That sounds like a Herb thing to do.
Yeah. Hey, we can talk a little Phils now, and the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan. Use the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Kev Jackie Baseball.
All right, I got 3 big questions for you.
Ooh.
3.
You're involving us in the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report?
Well, we're an interactive program. My first question is, Spike, you are someone who has been very, I would say, you don't really trust this guy, but Jose Alvarado. Yeah. Is Jose Alvarado back and a real fixture in the bullpen? It's not allowed a run since coming back from his leave.
It doesn't feel like he's back yet. It just feels like he's better than it was before he left.
Well, his last appearance was good. His last 2 appearances, I believe, were good.
Here's what I mean by feeling like he's back. You telling me you weren't nervous when he went out there?
To be fair, I'm nervous about everybody but Hoffman.
Okay.
Well, what about Stromy?
I'm still nervous.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, because Strom's good, but his stuff isn't like the other guys.
What about Kirky?
Well,
I'm getting there with Kirky. I'm always going to be nervous with Alvarado, and I'm always going to be nervous. This is what actually made me nervous about Lidge. I'm always nervous when the relief pitcher's success is based on throwing a ball in the dirt and the guy swinging at it, which is sort of like what Alvarado is, because that makes me nervous in general, because the minute he gets behind 2-0, I'm like, oh my God, they're going to hit the ball 500 feet. But I didn't even think he would ever look this good again. So he wouldn't rank top. I would have Hoffman ahead of him in trust, Strom ahead of him. I would have Kirkering ahead of him.
Okay.
And I would probably have Estevez ahead of him.
Wow, really? Well, you weren't even a big Estevez guy.
Well, it's just like I need more of a sample from Alvarado. But I wouldn't mind putting him in there in a 3-1 game in the 7th or something.
Well, the good part is at least he's generating some swing and miss.
Yes.
And the slider looks back. So that's good. The key part about the Alvarado thing is, you know, whatever they're going to do with Ranger, like part of the Ranger bullpen idea, if you wanted, was to help Alvarado. Well, now Alvarado might be on his track to being back. It kind of changes that complexion as well. But he looks good. And I think that's a good sign. My second question is, like, is this version of Bryce good enough to win the World Series? Like, because I think that this might be the version that we're getting for the rest of the year. Like, 400 hitter, not, I mean, we'll see if he can keep that up. But, like, I think the idea that he's going to get his power back doesn't feel like that's going to happen. And, like, I think it's more than just the wear and tear. Because, like,
you think he's injured and he's not getting better this year?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Like, if it was wear and tear, I would say, well, just sit him for a couple days. But he's not sitting. Which makes me feel like there might be something more here.
Yeah. Your question is, can they win the World Series with Bryce playing like this? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. Now, here's the thing. Are you telling me he's not going to hit a home run again the rest of the season?
I would say I would not bank on his power coming back. So, like, he might hit a home run, but he's not going to be, like, the big home run threat.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
You're using more like your boy Bomer.
Which is not a bad thing. You can be a gap hitter. You can hit the ball in the gaps.
Just ride the Harper.
Yeah, man, listen. If it's what we have to do, it's what we have to do. How can I feel? See, how can I put this? For those that complain, the only way they score runs is by hitting home runs. Well, now they don't have that. They have to find other ways to do it. And Bryce has found other ways to contribute. He may be even hitting better right now, without the home run aspect of it. He's hitting for average, certainly better. Yeah. You look at his overall numbers, he's on pace, I think, to set a career high in doubles this year.
Yeah, he's up there.
And that's not – when did hitting doubles become a bad thing?
Well, look, can they win the World Series with him like this? Yes. Is it optimal? No. There are bigger questions that we're going to have to ask after the year about his durability in general and what player we're getting for the next 5 years post this year. I mean, he was signed to be the best player, the best hitter on the team, the best player on the team, and he's... This stuff is just going to add up. It does. Every player that you see get injured over and over and over again, it has like this little bit of lasting effect. It's not like one of them will make him 10% worse, but everyone's like a half a percent and a half a percent and a half a percent. I think it depends on two things. One, well, it really just depends on one thing, actually. Him knowing who he is.
Yeah.
And I think he is aware right now for this year. He is aware that the it is getting into his head, I think, that the power is not coming back. Every time he hits one and he thinks it's gone and it dies at the warning track. And I think he's changed his approach a little bit, and that's why he's been a better hitter. I think the bigger questions are after the year. The other question is this: on replacement day, if you could, it's this version of Bryce the rest of the year. If you could replace him with 08 Ryan Howard, would you do it?
In a heartbeat.
Jack?
So are we counting Howard's playoff run from 08? Is that what am I getting 08 Ryan Howard playoff version?
You're getting 08 Ryan Howard, and you are crossing your fingers on the playoff.
Because he didn't really do much until the World. I'll still take Harper.
Over 08
I'll
Ryan Howard.
I'll still take him over 08 Ryan Howard.
I mean, so Ryan Howard that year hit 48 home runs, 148 RBIs, 881 OPS, I think it was, because I was
looking it up today. Yeah.
Well, I considered it for my replacement day thing. Not Bryce in general, but Bryce for the rest of this year. I think it is a fair thing to wonder. And he was runner-up MVP to Pujols that year.
Can you imagine if you dropped Ryan Howard's numbers in this lineup? What this lineup would look like?
Yeah. And the only thing about the home runs is why they're so valuable is that this is just elementary, but a home run can. If the whole team's cold, you can score three runs with one pitch.
Yes. You need to be able to hit home runs.
Yeah,
like people love to do this you're talking about how people want them to not only hit home runs or score runs via the long ball. You have to be able to do it.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't have a problem with it. I just don't think he's never been a quote unquote home run hitter. Schwarber.
But a threat.
Yeah, of course.
He's a threat.
Yes,
yeah.
I agree. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that
it doesn't deter you.
Yes, and I don't think it rules him ineffective as a player.
I agree.
You know, some guys, if they can't hit home runs, they can't do anything at the plate.
Yeah,
Bryce has proven that's not the case.
I mean, his OPS is over 1,000 in September.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, we got a report from somebody else who's gunning for Insider of the Year that he will be at NovaCare, and that's Howard Eskin. So let ESP know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Anyway.
And the final question here. It was the morning show topic today, but I really liked it, and I wonder how you guys feel. Like, if the playoffs started today.
Is that a compliment for the morning show?
It was. Okay. Well, because I didn't want to be like, oh, you took my talk. Anyway.
Okay.
Heading into the playoffs, are you more nervous or excited?
I'm excited.
Really?
Yeah.
This team is winning the World Series, bro. How many times do I need to say that?
It's not because I feel that way. It is because I am not carrying the weight. You, Jack, you feel like you are like the Bryce of the fans, in that you feel like you're carrying the weight of everyone and expectations.
He is.
Yeah. And
I mean, well, he is.
Well, we will blame you if they don't win the World Series. So you should be nervous.
Yes. Yes.
So you're more nervous than you are excited.
Yes. I need this to end in one way. Like, I can't have a repeat of last year where they come up small in games 6 and 7, and that guy deal with the whole offseason talking about how they're chokers and they can't
Bryce hit a ball to the wall.
Not happening.
He did. I know he did. He did 110 miles an hour.
I can't wait till he hits a game-winning home run in the postseason.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank God.
Be amazing.
How hard's the wind blowing out that day? Is it playing at Wrigley?
Yeah.
Winning the World Series at Wrigley?
Hang in there, Bryce.
Yeah. Look, I give him, I joke about Bryce a lot. I give him a lot of credit for battling through what is obviously painful. And especially the way he swings, I cannot imagine what, if he's got a problem with his elbow and with his wrist, that every time he swings as hard as he does, I'm sure it hurts. I'm glad that he's doing it. I do think it is significant losing that power threat. you know, in the middle of the lineup. You know, they're still a decent power team.
Cassidy's hitting home runs.
Cassidy's what, at like 21, something like that? I think your boy Bohm's hit 13 home runs. He just stopped about 2 months ago. You know, Schwarber obviously has
Trey
been T's great.
Heating up.
Trey T, yeah. Yeah.
He just hit two the other night.
Four in his last 11 games?
Come on, man. Mm.
Yeah.
I'm not impressed.
Well, I'm excited for this series this weekend, by the way.
Man, Red October, bro.
I'm excited for the playoffs. I'm also excited for this weekend. I'm excited. I like these series now that, you know, it feels like we have the division or whatever, but the series that have more juice, the series this weekend with the Mets is going to have juice.
Yeah.
It's going to have a lot of juice.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I think it's a big series this weekend. We got an opportunity to put our foot on the Mets' throat this weekend.
And just from a vibe standpoint. You know, you win the series, that'll feel good. This team's really hot.
We need this. This is actually a good sports setup. We got the Mets on the weekend, and we got the Eagles on Monday.
Monday night.
That's a good sports 4 days.
So I have a text from another insider of the year candidate.
God.
Yeah.
Will not be there at the press conference.
Elliot?
Elliot's not going to be there?
He said he had another engagement.
Oh.
He was second on Insider of the Year.
We need that accountability. Just accountability.
He's our Eagles guy, right?
Elliot decided to sit this one out.
Right.
And they are practicing. So they must have changed their practice schedule.
Right.
And so he's doing it after practice.
Wow. So is Elliot pulling like a Devin White here? Is he...
I don't know if he fake injured his ankle, but we'll see.
Wow. This is embarrassing for him.
That's bad look.
Yeah,
bad
it's really look. Embarrassing. Ken from Cinnaminson, you're on WIP. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up, man?
What up, Ken?
2 days in a row, I feel privileged.
Yeah, we feel privileged.
As you should. Listen, two things. First of all, there's so much worship at the altar of Chase Utley around here that people forget that Ryan Howard was the most feared hitter in all of baseball.
Talk
absolutely.
Yes, sir.
In 2008. So he's not my replacement, but that would be a pretty good replacement.
It's not a bad replacement, right? Yeah.
that would help the team immensely.
He's one of the guys, real quick, Ken, that, you know, the end, we were all waiting for that contract to end. I'll never forget all the criticism that Ruben, you know, got for that contract. And I think... obviously, we all love Ryan Howard, and, you know, thinking about it now, he was a great player. But I think since the last thing we saw was a falling apart Ryan Howard and a league figured him out Ryan Howard, you forget about that stretch of 3 or 4 years where he was hitting home runs like... hitting 50 home runs, you know, around 50 home runs every year. So, yes, he was an unreal force those few years.
The only player in my life who made me say "Mother of God" out loud once when the ball left his bat, because I had never seen a ball hit like that in my life.
Yeah, he was awesome.
And I'm older than all you guys. And if you really need Hassan Reddick intel, I was the first one to report that Hassan Reddick would not be an Eagle in 2024, and that was in spring of 2023. So let's just get that out.
Wow.
Of the way.
So you going for Insider of the Year votes?
Okay.
I'm really not.
Okay.
You know, every once in a while, a blind squirrel finds an acorn in the forest.
So who you replacing?
Well, for the Phillies, this is pretty easy. I mean, he's the third best player on the 2008 Phillies that everybody forgets about. But I am absolutely putting Jason Wirtz in right field and replacing Nick Castellanos. You're going to get the best at-bats of anybody in the lineup out of Jason Wirtz, who gave you great at-bats every time. And he was the third best player on the team.
Yeah, I think you could go back. One of the interesting things about the post-08 Phillies is if they pay Jason Wirtz instead of Cliff Lee. Is doubling down on how do you, they just won a World Series with a patchwork rotation, and I understand putting together the best rotation of all time, but you pay Jason Worth was a new age, you know, got on base, worked counts, hit for power, hit for average, was a good right fielder. Castellanos is a good, like, probably replacement level, but Jason Wirth was a really good player. So I respect that, and you're the first person to say Wirth.
It took them 10 years to replace that right-handed bat in the lineup once they let him leave. I mean, that's just a fact.
Yep. And who's your Eagle that you're replacing?
I am replacing, this is going to be a little, kind of deep cut, but I'm replacing Kenny Gainwell with Corey Clement.
Ah.
Well, that is an interesting one.
That is interesting. He went for the backup running back.
Now, what it could do, by the way, is if Saquon's out for a few games, you have a backup that you are maybe more confident in than Gainwell. Did make big plays in the Super Bowl.
Man, I loved Corey that year.
So here's the question. Yeah. So was Ajayi the starter or Blunt the starter?
I think Blunt was the starter.
So then Ajayi would be the second. And then, like, wouldn't Clement be replacing Shipley?
Well, that's fine. He's still, that's even better.
That is
better. That's better for Ken. It's better for Ken's case if he's replacing Shipley. Yeah.
Listen, I know that there's a rule now that only quarterbacks can be the MVP in the Super Bowl, but Corey Clement was the best player on the field in Super Bowl 52. And that includes, Nicky Six. Corey Clement was the best player on the field in that game.
Nelson Aguilar.
Nelson Aguilar.
These are all great takes, but Nick Foles was the best player on the field. What are we doing? That's a great take.
And an argument for Alshon.
I love Nick Foles, but Nick Foles wasn't even the best quarterback on the field that day. I mean, you just have to look at it objectively, guys.
That is true.
One guy caught the ball, one guy dropped it. One guy won, one guy lost.
That argument. Yep.
Catching's not in the description for quarterback.
It is for Nick Foles. So, all right. Oh, Ken, what's your for next question today, what's your favorite video game all time?
Well, considering I bought my first computer when I was 35 years old, I'm going back to arcade days, and I'm going back before all of you guys, shortly after the real only original Star Wars movie came out. There was a game in the arcade called X-Wing Fighter. You would actually climb in the cockpit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was basically like Lines.
Down the trench.
The video game, is this the one where everything was basically like lines, or were there actual graphics in it?
No, you would make your run down the trench, and the guns were there, and it's just like the Death Star run in the movie.
Yeah.
You would make your run, the Death Star run that Top Gun Maverick ripped off for the last scene, where the same exact thing. But you'd make your run down the trench. And the guns were there, and the TIE fighters were there, and you had to fight your way down the trench and then try and get your shot down into the port to blow up the Death Star.
Yep. And how about Ken throwing in there that Top Gun Maverick ripped that off?
Yes, I love it.
I love that part, too.
All right, Ken. Thank you for the call, man.
They definitely ripped it off from Star Wars.
Takes from Ken today.
Love that Ken's back.
Yeah.
And I love the Corey Clement. Of all those players, that's great. That
was great. Only receiver in the game to have 100 yards.
Oh, he was.
Well, I should say only player in the game.
On that catch.
To have 100 yards receiving.
That catch in the back of the end zone.
My goodness.
I mean, come on. How did he even see it?
Man.
You watch it again, I don't know how he even saw the ball. All right. Coming up next.
Pretty good that year. He was good his rookie year, man. He's pretty good.
It's a big 5 o'clock hour. Coming up next, we have the first time Jalen Hurts speaks at a press conference since Friday night's game. Obviously, somebody will ask him about the interceptions. Somebody will ask him about the decision-making. So that is coming up at 5. And then you're getting an even bigger 5 o'clock hour because you're getting Jalen at 5 and then the top 5 at 5 at 5:30. So it is the top 5 at 5:30. That is all coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.